Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for joining us on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and we have an amazing show for you today. We have some interesting guests, interesting stories. But before we go ahead and introduce our guests, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do. Every day, I make the same request. Go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. Find someone, some entrepreneur, some business owner, somebody who maybe they're working at their day job, but they want to make a change. This is the show that will help them do it. So let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is live. So while you're going ahead and introducing your friends to the Roundtable Talk Show, I'm going to introduce you to a few of my friends and our guests. Our first guest you may recognize because we had him on a previous show and he was a blast. We laughed, we learned from Mr. Jeff Harry. Jeff is an international speaker who has presented at conferences such as Inbound, Essex, SW, and Australia's Pause Fest, showing audiences how major issues in the workplace can be solved using play. Jeff was selected by Bamboo HR and Engagedly as one of the top 100 HR influencers of 2020 for his organizational development work around dealing with toxic people in the workplace. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Oh, I'm so excited. Let's go. I'm amped. I want to meet the other, everyone else too.
We gonna get to all of that. We gonna get to all of that.
I want to meet Brandon. And
you gotta name them all. If you name them,
Nadia, Steve. I'm gonna figure out how to say your name, Andrea. All right. Yes. So what do you want?
You're so interesting and animated, and I love when you're here. I'm going to like bring you back more often. I'm just going to come snatch you into the show. Jeff, talk about your bow tie. I love your bow tie and the whole story behind it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I wear this ridiculous Lego bow tie. It's from a former organization. Is that me? Okay. I wear it because it was a challenge to go to a conference and wear something ridiculous because I feel like everyone is pretending anyway. Everyone's just like trying to be like their professional self all the time, right? And I was just like, nah, man, I'm gonna wear this to mock the idea of professionalism. But what happened, which I did not expect, and this is why I still wear it to this day, is the amount of nerds that came to me and started talking to me, and just people that didn't feel like they had to front or pretend to be somebody else. It's just like, you know, I think Brandon, you know, also wears a bow tie. I saw it on his LinkedIn profile, but it's just this ease of being like, yo, like we're here to play. Like I'm not taking myself too seriously because the world is taking themselves way too seriously right now. So like, this just brings some levity to that.
Now, I'm just saying, and it maybe it's just me, so correct me if I'm wrong, but usually human resources is that one department where they're like, look, Jeff, you've been having way too much fun at work.
That is true. I was actually on a podcast called Rebel HR yesterday. There are people in HR that also know that work is not working out the way it should be right now. 85% of people are disengaged at work. This is before the pandemic, right? On an 8-hour workday, only 2 hours and 53 minutes can people actually focus, right? Mm-hmm. So people are at work 8.8 hours of the day, but for 5.5 hours of those days, they're not doing anything. They're just making up BS work because they're just not fully engaged. So, you know, what I've been, since we talked, right? I've been now on 80 podcasts.
Wow, like, congratulations.
I know, like 80, 90 in the last 7 months, just as like my play. It was just like, let me just hop on and have all these conversations. But all of the conversations tied in with the fact of like, What are you doing to get your staff in flow? How are you going up to your staff and asking them, what's the work that you love doing most, where you forget about time? You know, what percentage of that work do we actually do right now? You only do 10% of that work. How can we increase that to 15 or 20%? Because when they're doing that flow work, it has a ripple effect on everything else that they do. And if you're like, well, I don't know that, you know, there's no facts behind that. It's like Google did the 20% program where they let people be curious and pursue for a fifth of their time whatever they were interested in, as long as it helped Google. And that's where Gmail came from. That's where Google Meet came from. Billion-dollar ventures because people were playing. So can we bring more play to work? That's all the reason I'm here.
Okay, so, but my question is, and I'm pretty sure the audience and the rest of the panel are wondering the same thing. How do you do that? Because some employers feel that employees are doing way too much playing. Like I said, like you said, for that 5 hours anyway, right. Why add more play?
Because right now, your staff is not engaged, right? Mm-hmm. And when we talk about which companies have been the most adaptable during this pandemic, it's the ones that are having the most fun. You know, Steven Johnson says the future is where people are having the most fun. So if you look at TikTok, Hulu, Disney, Netflix, all those organizations are the ones.
You forgot the Roundtable Talk Show in there.
And the Roundtable Talk Show, right. Those are all the ones that are being innovative, resilient, and taking risks and actually being, you know, like people right now are not playing at work. What they're doing is they're rebelling at work because they hate work. Right? So they're like on social media. That's not what I consider play. I mean by play, any joyful act where you're fully present in the moment, where you're fully in love with the process, where you don't have anxiety about the future, you don't have regrets about the past, you're in the zone and you're doing what makes you come most alive. Because as Howard Thurman says, like, don't ask what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive, because the world needs is for more people to come alive. So what I do when I'm helping staff at work to do this is trying to focus on the work that they do the best, because that's when you're going to get the most productivity out of them. And they'll know that you actually care. And then they won't think about leaving, because a lot of people right now are thinking about leaving their jobs.
We're going to talk about that. But, you know, just listening to you in this whole experience, one of my favorite movies is Anger Management by Adam Sandler. Right. And it's like it's that idea of switching the mode and switching the thought, you know, so they're feeling angry. And all of a sudden this huge men break out and you're so pretty, you know, so it's the same thing. It's like you have to shift that energy so you're not focused on the same thing. Interesting conversation, Jeff. I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to see if you were correct about that bow tie. Our next guest is Mr. Brandon Siegel. Brandon is a published author, internationally recognized speaker, and the president of Wellness Works Management of Partners. Siegel brings over 20 years of executive leadership experience. Throughout his storied career, Siegel has empowered purpose-driven entrepreneurs, managers, and leadership teams throughout the United States to streamline operations, build winning teams, implement effective business models, and ultimately transform new ventures for optimum success. Good morning, Brandon. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Nice to see everyone. I am a bow tie wearer, I must admit. I usually, when I'm not virtual, I pick out a bow tie for every speaking event themed to wherever I am. And again, like Jeff said, one, it's a conversation starter, but two, you know, although I probably feel like I'm taking myself too seriously today, I do agree. It's like, how do we break down barriers to relate with other people? And so relationships is where it's at. I definitely would say that probably Jeff and I synergize. Jeff is the guy that's making sure that the team is playing and optimized. And I'm the one that wants to make sure all the ingredients are flowing so that that purpose-driven entrepreneur is achieving greatness in all levels.
So I'm going to ask you about that, but I still want to go back to this bow tie, because you said that, no, I'm focused on this bow tie today, because somehow it came up in the theme, and you said you pick a theme for the bow tie, and I'm like, what is a bow tie theme? That's all I got out of everything.
So here's the deal. I'm going to New Orleans next week. If I'm going to New Orleans next week, right now we're at home, but I'm wearing Mardi Gras all week, different Mardi Gras bow ties. You know, I'm in Florida. I've got dolphins. I've got whales. I've got everything. I go to LA sometimes. I'm originally from Los Angeles. So I'll break out my USC. I'll break out some of my other, you know, theme stuff. It just depends, you know? And so I do a lot in healthcare. And so, you know, in October, I'm wearing breast cancer awareness bow ties all month, you know, and it, again, it's that conversation starter, but it's also, it's an ability to relate. You know, I think we are so, especially during COVID, we're so in our holes that we forgot how to relate with people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's so funny because tomorrow I promised my kids that they would get to pick out Legos, and I see the Lego bow tie and I'm like, I wish I had a Lego bow tie. I'm all about it. So yeah, bow ties, it's where it's at. You know, even you, Sharifa, you could wear a bow tie. You could pull it.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to have Jeff go back to wherever he got his his Lego bow tie, and he's going to get one for you and one for me. And then the next show, after I receive it, I'm wearing the Lego bow tie, okay?
Lego
and then
bow tie both event.
Both of you going to come back. We're going to do the show together. Brandon, talk to us about Wellness Works. What was the inspiration behind this?
So I'm on a mission to disrupt healthcare, wellness, and education. I think in these sectors, we've become so commercialized that we've lost the human quality of what's behind it. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of purpose-driven practitioners, entrepreneurs, teachers, all these people, they have a gift to give and they don't know how to give it, or they get stuck in the muck, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And my goal is to empower them and to bring strategy, solutions, and resources to help them scale. So mm-hmm. Wellness Works Management Partners is really, it's a deconstructed management service organization. So we bring everything from human resources support, compliance, all of that to for our medical communities, you know, we're helping with the billing side. We have a whole digital marketing agency. We have all different avenues, even clinical consults and coaching and different avenues. The goal is that we are that buffet of resources and that we are supporting truly purpose-driven entrepreneurs to create independence. There's a lot of management organizations today that want to create dependence. And it's all about, hey, you're going to rely on me and then you're stuck. And my whole vision is, how do I bring you to your next level so that you can create more independence in your practice, in your business venture, et cetera?
That is powerful, Brandon. I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go here. I'm going to do a bow tie question today. Everybody has to answer this question, but I'm going to introduce our next guest, Ms. Linnea Smith Crawford. Linnea is a licensed marriage and family therapist and holistic wellness expert. She earned her bachelor's degree in psychology from Spelman College and her master's in marriage and family therapy with a specialization in trauma therapy. In addition to her degrees, she is a registered play. Y'all hear that right? Play therapist, Gottman trained couples therapist, certified yoga sound and meditation guide, media contributor, and teacher. As the holistic MFT, Linnea specializes in bridging holistic wellness practices with traditional psychotherapy on people's paths to healing and purpose. Good morning, Linnea. How are you?
Good morning. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good, but where's your bow tie?
You know, I was thinking about pulling mine out, but I know I couldn't leave the room. But next time I'll put my bow tie on.
next time. Before we go into all of my many questions, I was excited to have you here because you are one of the presenters at my New Year, New You 2-day teleconference. So everyone is going to see you speak and hear your session. And I'm so excited about that. What are some of the topics you're going to be covering?
Yeah, so we will be talking about affirmations and limiting beliefs. So how can we turn that no or that doubt in our minds off and really step fully into our purpose? Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to join too.
I'm excited to have you, you know, because, and I'm going to say this and then I'm going to get all the emails, but I had closed the conference and I was like, no, we're done. And then I saw what you were doing. I was like, okay, it's like shopping. I was like, one more. I just have to have one more. But it's interesting how Jeff and Brandon had this bow tie experience. And then you're like, okay, let's focus on play. Just like Jeff, it's like so many commonalities with all of your degrees, which I'm not knocking. How did you come and say, you know what? Let's play. Let's just have some fun with this experience.
Yes, because I think that people take themselves too seriously in all aspects. And I believe that play is essential to the soul. And somewhere along the line, when we became adults, we forgot about the importance of play. And similar to what Jeff was talking about, when you can add more fun, more play into the environment, people are more productive, people are happier, people are ready to show up and do the job well. So play is definitely an important component to that.
Yes. Now let's talk the other side, right? Because yes. I was having this, I'm so glad you're here today, but I was having this conversation with a guy friend of mine just yesterday, and I'm launching my fourth show, right?
Ooh, I have four shows
as of January 7th. And it's called Love, Harmony, and Happiness with Eric Seitz and Sharifa Hardy. And I had enough on my plate, but all of my friends, like all of my core group, I have the same friends. I'm like Drake, no new friends, right? My friends and I have been friends since like third grade, high school. It's like seven of us in a pack. But you know what? We're all single. And it's like, okay, let's talk about it. Why? So I'm gonna ask a professional. I mean, because everybody's talking about the marriage, the divorce rate is like 70%, 80%, probably 100% at this point. But why aren't people finding love and getting married these days?
You know, I think that the idea of marriage needs to be altered or changed a little bit. I think the perspective is that when you get married, you lose yourself, and then you and this person morph together as one. And so when people can realize that you can be your whole self in a marriage, you can still have your independence, you can still do the things that you want to do and still be in partnership with someone, I think the idea of marriage could be more appealing. But also I find that for so long we've been, especially as Black women, we tend to put our needs on the back burner. Right. And so now we're in this space and time where we can do what we want to do. We can be the light and the person in front and in the camera and all of that. And so I think that takes a toll on your romantic relationships, because for so long, that's all we were designed to be as women. We're wives, right? We're partners, but now we're leaders. And so I think that's part of the reason why marriage rates aren't as high as they once were.
Do you think it's also that aspect of initially there was more of a, you know, you got married, your husband took care of you, like you were saying, you didn't go out and have that career. And now it's like, okay, I don't need someone to take care of me. I don't need him to do that for me. But I just feel like we still need more of that. Let's do that together. Let's build that together. Like me personally, and I'll say this in my humbleness, and the guy I'm seeing, I hope he's not watching, but I do like, don't watch this show. But it's like, can't we do it together? Like, I want to get out, eventually get married. Like, where's the togetherness aspect of that?
Yes, I think it also comes down to gender roles. I mean, let's be honest, the traditional gender roles, one person is supposed to be more dominant than the other. But I think that communication is so important. All the couples that I work with, if you know that you both have a common goal, how can you communicate? How can you talk about it? How can you be on the same page so you can journey together? So I definitely think it's possible, but communication is definitely important for that. And I hope your guy is watching, because that's beautiful what you said. You want to grow with with him.
No, don't let him watch, because I'm telling you, this is how arguments start. I saw your show today, and then you said you want to get married. I told you, I'm not ready to get married. One day, Sharifa, one day. That's all I'm saying.
Just say you're manifesting it. You have to speak it in order for it to manifest. I love that.
Okay. So let me add that disclaimer though. One day, not today, not Christmas Eve. That's not what I was saying, right?
Right.
Today, I'm going to come back to you. I'm having so much fun. I want to go ahead and introduce Mr. Steve Anderson. Steve is an expert in strategic risk and business growth, drawing on decades of experience in the insurance industry. Excuse me, everyone. He wrote the Bezos Letters, 14 Principles to Grow Your Business Like Amazon. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm great, Sharifa. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
You are welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Take a drink if you need. I know that happens to me sometimes. So.
Yes, because I just butchered your bio.
How about I jump in and I can do that. So as Sharifa started saying, I've been in the insurance industry and in fact, my entire career. And over the last 25 years, I have really looked at technology and the insurance industry and have helped insurance agents and brokers embrace new stuff, right? And what I came to the conclusion a few years ago is that the biggest risk businesses face in general, not just the insurance industry, is actually not taking enough risk, which, right, insurance is all about reducing risk and getting rid of it. And I'm going, no, actually, we need to embrace more of it, but embrace it strategically. And so kind of taking that idea, I started researching companies, you know, who'd done it well, who hadn't. And, you know, we know the ones probably pretty familiar that didn't actually take the risk or the right risk, BlackBerry and Blockbuster and Sears, and we could go on and on. And then studied some companies that did and came across Amazon, obviously, as one that continues to be very successful and continues to adapt and new products and services, and we can talk more about that. But what I realized is Jeff Bezos, right? The question was, how do they do it? And what I realized is that he wrote out, hidden in plain sight, his plan for Amazon in the shareholder letters that he started writing in 1997. And so that's the book. And so what I did is an analysis of the shareholder letters actually through 2018 and came up and identified what I call 14 growth principles. So what has Amazon used to grow? And those principles are grouped into four cycles: test, build, accelerate, and scale, that I believe any business, regardless of their size, can use to help supercharge their growth, right? So are you going to be in another Amazon? Unlikely, but that doesn't mean you can't learn from the principles that Bezos applied as he was growing Amazon. And the thing I always try and remind people is Bezos started out just like everyone listening, meaning he was on his hands and knees packaging books into containers to take them and drive them to the post office. He wasn't always what we know Amazon is today. And so that was kind of the core of what I've done in that analysis.
That was powerful, and that was a wonderful save. Thank you. But I didn't get to ask my question. Which was, is that your bow tie around your neck?
I was going to say, so I know I didn't get the memo beforehand. I wasn't going to try and tie it. I usually still need a mirror to actually tie my bow tie, but I am a
bow tie. I want to see you do it. Go ahead and try. Oh. Live on air.
And by the way, this is the true bow tie, right? This is like not the clip-ons. I don't do that. And if I'm going to wear a bow tie, I'm going to be, you know, old school on it. But so I have to say, Brandon, you've inspired me now to think differently. I have a few kind of theme ties. I've got one with New York, you know, state on it. I do some work in New York and I wear that when I'm up there and some of those kinds of things. But I like the theme idea. So I'm going to have to work on that.
I think we just single-handedly sold out bow ties. I really think we did. I don't know how. You know what I mean?
Well, fortunately, right? So it I think is a bit of a Southern thing, maybe a bit more so. Mm-hmm. And here in Nashville, we actually have a company that is in farmers markets and right all kinds of different craft shows that makes custom ties and has a great selection. So.
Oh, and you worked in an ad for them. I need their name off air because I'm going to call them and be like, look, I'm going to sell out your whole store with this one. I'm going to need a percentage. I'm going to need a good 60-70% of all of those sales.
There you go.
Now, what you were saying was interesting. And Jeff Bezos, the Amazon example, is one of my favorites because you've probably seen it. There's a meme that goes around the internet with a picture and it talks about where he was in his garage in 1994. And I get that because in 1994, I built my first website. Back then, I knew the internet was the only way for me to do what I really wanted to do, my heart's desire to be a stay-at-home mom and still be able to create revenue. So you can see that growth and you can see that pattern for me as well. But with the 14 strategies, I know we can't go into all of it. Everyone has to read the book, but can you give us like one or two of the top have to go to strategies?
I'm chuckling because I get that question a lot, right? And that's like asking me, which of my seven grandchildren do I love best? Right.
Which one is
I know. So I know we're recording, we're on air. I can't just like your man there. I can't say that. I do think what's interesting about the principles is, and why I categorize them into four cycles, is that they stand alone, but they interact with one another. Okay. And so I think principle number one, it's in the test cycle, is called encourage successful failure. Mm-hmm. And it really follows that theme of what I started with, that at Amazon, one of their keys to success is failure is encouraged. Mm-hmm. And a certain type of failure, right? So Bezos breaks it down between operational failure and experimental failure. So operational failure is, hey, you know, you didn't get the package to the person when you said you were going to. That's not okay. We need to figure out and fix that problem. Experimental failure is they have a culture that realizes that if we're going to invent on behalf of the customer, we have to experiment a lot. And by its very nature, an experiment means you're going to fail.
Right.
So every experiment's not successful, but what can you learn from it? Mm-hmm. And so that encourage successful failure, again, is very counterintuitive to most business owners who tell their employees, right, yeah, we want you to create new things, but you better be right. Mm-hmm. And actually employees are, I'll say it this way. I don't believe employees are afraid of failure. They're afraid of the consequences of failure, meaning their career is negatively impacted if this product launch didn't go just right, versus how do we mitigate and reduce the failure and protect that downside and at the same time learn from what worked and what didn't work so that we can take that into our next product, our next project, our next phase.
Very interesting. I'm going to come back to you because I have more questions, but I have to go ahead and ask my next guest about her bow tie. I don't know if she got the memo or not, but I'm focused on this bow tie today. Miss Adria Goldman Gross, MedWise Insurance Advocacy CEO Adria Goldman Gross is a renowned figure in the New York area and across the country as a result of her extensive referral network of well-satisfied clients. Her clients are thrilled to refer friends and relatives in need of her unique talent as a medical claim advocate, dealing with complex medical billing put forth by the interface of the healthcare delivery system and insurance marketplace. Adria has 30 years of experience in insurance and advocacy field. Good morning, Adria. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be with everybody. It's great meeting you. I read about you before the meeting. It's wonderful. I was thinking bow tie, what could I do? The best thing I could come up is this, which is my bookmark for this book, Solved Curing Your Medical Insurance Problems. Ralph Nader liked it so much he won an international edition. It's called Multi-Payer Medicine Nightmare, Made in the USA. I had a really difficult life. I started out a really healthy kid. Everything was great. And then I turn 11 and a half years old. I'm not feeling well. I'm in Hebrew school in Port Jervis, New York, where Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey come together. And we had to map Israel, how to write down the cities of, you know, in Israel. And all of a sudden, this thing came over me, and I wasn't feeling well. And I raised my hand. I went, Rabbi, I don't feel well. He thinks I'm trying to get out of this test. He finally lets me go down the hall. I sat in a chair and went into a coma.
Oh, wow.
A coma. So I wake up 10 and a half hours later, and I'm looking at the plaque right now, Reader's Digest. I was in Reader's Digest about 5 years ago. They were looking for people who survived comas. So I told Reader's Digest, I'm laying there, waking up, I'm opening up my eyes and not knowing where I am. And I look straight ahead. I see a cross on the wall thinking I'm in heaven. But to the right was the rabbi, to the left was my parents. It was like, holy cow. But when I had encephalitis, which is a type of sleeping sickness, I survived it, but it left me with epilepsy.
Oh, wow. And
the average 18 seizures a month until I had brain surgery. So, okay, I wanted to be a teacher. I went to school up in Boston and Cambridge. I walked out of a classroom in Arlington, Massachusetts due to a seizure. And they wanted to say bye-bye to me and reapply in 2 years. And I said, hey, look, you knew before I came to the college what my situation was. I said, so you've messed up my life. I wanted to be a teacher since I was 10. But I have to tell you what I experienced there and what happened to me after I finally had brain surgery. I used to average 18 18 seizures a month. At one point, I was on 32 pills a day. And I never became a teacher, but I do teach now. And after the brain surgery, I thought, what am I going to do? I decided I didn't want to go back into the garment industry. I used to work for a lingerie company that was on the stock exchange. And then I came through the back door of one of the major health insurance companies in the United States. What did they do after 2 weeks on the job? They taught me how to deny claims.
Oh, wow.
I was there for 2 years. And then I moved on to another very large insurance company that was in 120 countries at the time. And again, I worked there. I worked for the first insurance company for 2 years. I went to a major insurance company for 10 years. But again, I started out in claims. I went into underwriting. But the first 2 weeks that I was at that job, what did they teach me? How to deny claims. Okay. So, you know, I worked there for 10 years and then I adopted two kids from Vietnam who are now 20 and 22. They were babies at the time, infants. And I kept my feet wet in the insurance industry. Then I opened up a medical billing business 15 years ago. So here I was denying claims for two insurance companies. I opened up a medical billing business working for doctors. And 10 years ago, next month, I came up with this idea because, you know, all these doctors are turning, you know, they're merging into big groups. What I learned is the larger the group of doctors, the more money they can collect from the insurance companies. So voila, I thought to myself, right after I opened my business, I went to SCORE, the guy helped me open my medical billing business. And he comes to me, he was in a restaurant that was supposed to be handicap accessible, falls off his wheelchair and had bills for $108,000 that he had to pay back to Medicare if he won the case. Well, guess what? I took a look to see what was related, what was not related, and what was questionable. When we took those questionables and not related and put them on the side, he won his case and only had to pay back $22,000. It was great. So I took that idea and now I use it for people when their claims are either denied, going nowhere, out of network, overcharged. Have any of you ever had a denied claim?
I probably have, but it may come along that line. I don't know, but I will share this experience with you. A few years ago, I had been rear-ended in a car accident. And so my back would give me problems. I'll make this, you know, 20-hour story into 20 seconds. But every now and then, I would get bad pain. So I went to the hospital on a Sunday night. I still remember I was in extreme pain. The doctor saw me after, you know, 20 hours, told me there was nothing that they could do. They did the x-rays or whatever, and to call my doctor in the morning and have them prescribe me some ibuprofen. So I go home. Do you know, like a week or two later, I got a bill for $2,500. I said, to tell me to take aspirin? Like literally, this is a true story. So we go through $2,500. I didn't even get the aspirin. You know what I mean?
I thought you were gonna say $25,000. I have to know. My guy yesterday who was very constipated and he goes to the hospital. All he really needed was an enema. They gave him bills over $10,000. I mean, crazy what they do to people. There was an incident where I've been on TV. I've been on CBS. I've been four times in Consumer Reports to help people because I'm out there educating and I speak before attorneys, CPAs, financial planners to help them with their clients from them having to go into bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is what I do for a living. I love my work. I have, you know, here I was getting sick at 11 and a half and I always wanted to be a teacher. And now I am out teaching.
You are.
Listen, I was sick. After I had the brain surgery, now I'm denying claims, you know? Yes. Even my doctor, I'll never forget. Here I am working for a major health insurance company. They're in like every single state, okay? And I said to him, I just started working for you. My bill from the doctor was, you know, $297. You're only paying me $87. Why? I'm an employee here. They said, okay, resubmit it. They gave me another 15. I had to pay the bill. I'm working for my own insurance company that's insuring me, a medical insurance company. This is nuts.
Yes, we have to change it. We have to change it. We also, I want to talk about something that I'm passionate about, helping save the world. This week's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show is supported by Free Lunch Coffee. Free Lunch Coffee is on a mission to end hunger from the lives of underprivileged children. There are children out there who really need your support, yet it can be difficult and intimidating to know where to start and how to help. When you buy one bag of Free Lunch Coffee, you are providing 10 meals to children in need, and Free Lunch Coffee will donate 50% of the money earned to end hunger in the lives of young children. How cool is that? Beyond a fantastic cause, Free Lunch Coffee has great coffee that is specialty grade, certified organic, and tastes amazing. Use coupon code ROUNDTABLE at checkout for a 10% discount at freelunchcoffee.com. That's roundtable, two words, at freelunchcoffee.com to get your 10% discount. And now we're going to go back to our interesting guest. But if you are just now tuning in, please go ahead and share this show. Already, we have laughed. We have learned. This has been an interesting episode. I want to go back over to Brandon real quick, because Brandon, one of the things that I find interesting about you is that I don't think that this was the experience that you were expecting. I think you came on the show, you're talking about business, but I think there's a fun aspect. You're like, you know what? I can show some more of my fun side. Am I correct, Brandon?
Correct. You never know what you're gonna get. Some people want the straight and narrow, and some people are like, let the tiger out of the bag, so to speak, you know?
I like tigers. Tigers are good for, you know, going viral, because I could be like, I was doing my show, then a tiger came out. I can spin any story, believe me. Do you have a podcast as well?
I do. I have a podcast called The Private Practice Survival Guide. It resembles, I have the book here. It's all about, you know, it's you really put together an incredible panel today. And I think we all synergize, each one of us, obviously from the insurance challenges and barriers that consumers are faced with, to how we're empowering and engaging, you know, team members and Jeff, and to, you know, obviously the social emotional component that Linnea is sharing about, and how we, you know, embrace life on a day-to-day basis, and the mental health stigmas and whatnot. And then obviously putting the pieces together on growth with Steve. And so I'm just honored to be part of this group and really be able to engage, because I think we all are helping similar people out in different ways. And I think that's really special. It's rare that you get to be on a show where you all in the same way are purpose driven, you know, obviously with business and the consumer in mind, the person who's struggling. And I think right now in the current pandemic, you know, not only do people need us, but businesses need us. We are, you know, in a whole new level where businesses are struggling, and therefore people are struggling. So
yes, let's talk to Linnea about people struggling, because when I'm listening to Adria, I think Adria sent me back on a flashback to that moment when I got that bill. My heart just stopped. But I know it's these instances and what we're going through that affects us, you know, right now in the world, and our marriages and our relationships and our wholeness and our health. Linnea.
Yes. So I think similar to what y'all were saying, people are definitely struggling. But what I definitely practice and want to teach is that we have to find a moment of stillness and find a moment to connect to ourselves deeper, because the world is always going to be in some sort of chaos, right? There's always going to be something happening that could raise our anxiety levels, that could trigger some trauma responses. And so I think it's one of my life's missions to help people be able to be still, connect with their breath, connect with their body, and be in the present moment, because we know that when we're in the present, we can't think about what happened yesterday. We can't think about what's going on tomorrow. We can just be in the present moment and really tune into our mental health.
I think that's wonderful. And I'm in the present moment. I keep getting distracted. That's one of the things that happen. And I've been dying to ask this question, but I'm like, no, I don't want to offend anybody. But after a while, go forget it. Ask, are you wearing a gi?
You said a what?
A gi, like a karate gi. Like, what do you have on?
Oh, so this is like my husband got this. It's like a poncho, kimono inspired thing. I like to be comfortable. I like to, you know, I like the neutral colors, but I guess it does kind of look like a karate.
No, it's beautiful. I love it. But I was like, what? I just wanted to know. It looks so comfortable. I just get it in red. Like, that's my color. But I'm like, this what is she about to, she a black belt? What else?
You know, I'm going to come out shopping.
Don't mess with her.
Ralph Macchio, what's going on? There you look.
I thought I'd ask. Jeff, what do you think of the conversation so far?
So Lanaya said something that's really key, right? I just found this out recently. We get more information in a day than people in the 1950s got in an entire year. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how much information is. And most, especially media and social media, is telling us that we're not enough. It's telling us that we should do things differently. It's telling us that we should buy this product and that's going to bring us happiness. And I really resonate with what Lanai is saying, because what I talk about when I talk about play, which is ironic coming from a play guy, but I challenge a lot of my clients to get bored. And what I mean by that is, like, for 1 to 2 hours, not forever, but block out social media, stop binge watching Netflix just for a moment, so that you can actually practice listening to your own intuition, your own inner child, that own inner curiosity. And then it starts to whisper crazy, really exciting things to you, like start that podcast, create that video, run for a congresswoman, you know, like just like take these risks. Because I think if anything, you know, with so much loss and strife, especially this year, this also was a time for like reset and being like, do we want to go back to normal? Like, normal was not working. Like, if anything, everyone that's been talking on this is talking about how they're trying to change a problem because normal was crazy. And we don't want to go back to normal. We want to like come up with a new normal that has a shared humanity, that where we like are able to actually see each other.
Yes. Adria, I would love for your comments on what Jeff just had to say, because we talk about normal. We talk about what's going on. And I know if I got a bill for $250,000, my normal would be off. I would be over there trying to karate somebody into fixing it.
First of all, I don't watch much TV. I don't have time. You know, I have been busy. Business slowed down a little bit and starting to pick up again. But, you know, Jeff, when you were talking, the only thing that came to my mind is when I think the most, and that's when I'm in the shower. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking to myself, man, is that, we're going to get cold after being in there for 2 hours?
Yes.
Stand in that shower, because that's all peace. Mm-hmm. It's peace, and it makes me think, and I'm like, that's the idea. Or I get up in the morning and I have this dream all night long. That was what I was thinking about, is how I'm going to do that next step for this. Mm. A lot of problems when I'm sleeping or taking a shower.
You know what? That's interesting that you said that, because I forgot my own question I was going to ask Jeff, because I get all of those little voices that, like, Sharifa, run for Senate at like 2 or 3 a.m. You know, and what I've learned is that I usually try to wait until about 7, 8 a.m. to actually flesh this out. Because what I used to do is I like email everybody, this is what I'm about to do. I'm ready to go. Let's go. But I'm like, okay, sometimes I have to flesh that thought out and slow down and think it through. Steve, how about you?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I love the comment about in the shower and boredom. I was trying to look it up. There's a book that I read that impacted me a lot, that was some title along the lines of, you know, boredom is good, or embrace boredom, or, and actually I try and practice that. So, you know, I spend time in the morning just writing, journaling, reading, just again, to capture some of those thoughts and ideas. And again, I'll bring it back a little bit to Bezos. In his 2018 letter, he has a whole section called Intuition, Creativity, and the Power of Wandering. And what he talks about there is that a couple things. One is he wants employees who are curious and not afraid. He wants builders. He wants to hire missionaries, not mercenaries. Mm-hmm. So again, there's this underlying idea that one, creativity comes out of space to have that time. And, you know, we've talked about play, but play is, you know, a key way that we are able to think differently and be more creative. Mm-hmm. So all of those, I think, and the more intentionality we can put into that, perhaps the more we can benefit from some of that creativity.
What are some of the things that you do when you're wandering and you're bored? Like, physically, what do you do?
For me, I have a park right next to my office. So sometimes it's literally going to the park. It's either walking and, not listening to podcasts and I don't typically listen to music much, and or sitting on the bench there for, 30 minutes, just sitting, right? Just kind of letting your mind open up in terms of, what are some things, whatever that might be. Sometimes it's crazy. Sometimes I'm, taking notes about what I've thought about or solving a problem or, those kinds of things.
But Steve, was interested in what you said, even in that 30 minutes, experts, and we'll ask Lanaya, because I'm not an expert on this, would call that meditation. People meditate in so many different ways. Adria meditates in the shower. That's where she's contemplating. You're sitting on the bench for 30 minutes. But I think so often we try to, if you don't do something this way, then it doesn't work or it's not right. People meditate washing the dishes. Lanaya, am I off? Am I wrong?
No, so I actually teach a class on this because oftentimes people think that meditation is eyes closed, you got your hands in the mudras, and you are thinking about anything for like 30 minutes straight. And that's one form of meditation, but that's not the only way. Meditation is literally simply just you connecting with yourself. Meditation could be as small as 30 seconds. Meditation could be as long as you want it, but really it's about going inward. And I do want to speak to the point about thoughts, because everyone's talking about like the great ideas that they have and all the information that comes in. But I think it's important to note that out of the thousands of thoughts we think every day, a lot of those thoughts are negative, right? So a lot of those are the I'm not enough that Jeff was speaking about, or that I need to be doing more, or comparing yourself to other people. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm super passionate about affirmations. Affirmation cards. And I've actually created my own affirmation card deck specifically for Black women, because as I know you can relate, we are asked to save the world time and time again without a thank you or an I love you. And so I created this affirmation card deck to really help Black women be able to affirm the things that the world often says is not good or is not not beautiful or shouldn't be celebrated. And aside from that, I think we all really could practice affirmations because we're all experts in our fields, but I'm sure we all struggle with limiting beliefs. And I think it's important that in addition to meditation, that you also affirm yourself.
Where can we pick up a copy of these cards? Because I'm gonna need a deck.
Oh yes, absolutely. So on my website, theholisticmft.com, we have decks and self-love kits to invite in all of that positivity and self-love.
I'm gonna have to check out the deck. Can you give us one of your affirmations?
Yes. So this is one of my favorites. And it says, I am enough. No matter where I am on my journey, I will honor and love myself. I am not defined by my achievements. At every stage, I am enough. At every turn, I am enough. At every crossroad, I am enough. I am enough. So that's a sample card from the deck. Affirmation is power. Black woman, you are enough.
I have to get a copy. One of the things that stands out to me is when I ran for Long Beach City Council, there was another lady, an Asian lady, who I felt what insulted me because we were talking about race and in the whole conversation. And I'm like, okay, why are you so focused on race? Like, we have so many different multicultural people. Why isn't race an issue? She was like, well, I'm proud to be whatever I am, just like you're proud to be a happy Black History Month. And it was February, right?
Wow.
So I'm like, I didn't even know happy Black History Month was a race, right? I didn't know.
So, right?
You learn something new every day. But what happened was when she said it and the camera caught my reaction to what she said, and then people saw it, there were Black women. This is true story. Who basically said, Sharifa, you just look so angry. You got to learn how to not to respond and not to react to everything that you said. And it just so happened right after that forum, I was scheduled to shoot my campaign commercial. Somebody had asked all the candidates to do a commercial for their network. And so I'm like, okay, all right. Y'all want to play with Sharifa Hardy, right? So I'm like, my commercial is still on the internet today. It's like, hi, My name's Sharifa Hardy. I'm a business consultant, talk show host, and some consider me an angry Black woman. But you know what? I believe more people should be angry about homelessness. I think more people should be angry about unemployment. I think more people should be angry about the state of the world. So it's like, you know what? If that's what you see, when you see me, I'll own it.
I love that. I love that shift, right? Own it and say, well, you know what? There's lots of things to be angry about. I love that. And yes. I think that's similar to what you say. I think that that stereotype is prevalent. So that's another reason for these affirmation cards, because we are so much more than that. We're happy, we're nurturing, we're beautiful, we're powerful. And so it's just to remind us that we are all of those things and not just that one.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love it. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your experience here today. And we're going to start with you, Steve.
Okay. You know, I think I'll go back to another one of my principles real quick, and it's number 14. It's called Believe It's Always Day One. And this is a theme that has run through what Bezos has talked about for 26 years now. And to describe it, you know, he addresses it in his 2016 letter with the question from an employee that says, Jeff, what does day two look like? You know, you talk about day one. And he basically says, day two is stasis, followed by irrelevance, followed by excruciating, painful decline, followed by death. And that is why it's always day one. And for Bezos, day one is, okay, that first day you opened your business, right? You were focused on the customer and getting the products out. And for Amazon, for Bezos, he believes that he wants everybody to say, it's day one for the internet, quote out of the 97 letter, and also for Amazon if we execute well. There's still so much to be invented on behalf of the customers. And I think that's certainly as we end 2020 and look forward to, I'm optimistic about 2021 and the things we've learned, the things we want to change as we go forward.
I think that's powerful. Thank you, Steve. Brandon, what do you have for us?
So I think in, you know, as we approach 2021, we need to recognize that our healthcare industry, our education, you know, we need more purpose-driven leaders. We need more purpose-driven entrepreneurs. We need people to tap into their secret sauce and give it to the world, because right now we're relying on too many big commercialized industries in order to run how we live day in, day out. And I think that if you have a secret sauce and you know you want to bring it to the world, there's people, everyone on this panel included, that can support that journey, that venture. And so I think we need to stop being the effect of what's going on in the world and start being the cause. And we have to team up because it's a team sport. This is an Ironman race. And to really get to the finish line, we have to come together and bring each other's secret sauces, so to speak, to change the world on a purpose-driven journey. So I'm here, Wellness Works Management Partners, BrandonSiegel.com. Would love to connect with each and every one of you to help co-create, to create a better world together.
You just need a mic, Brandon, because you dropped it. He was like, bam, I love it. I love it. Adria, what do you have for us? Adria, you back on mute, dear?
Yeah, I had to mute. The phone was ringing, so I had to leave me alone. thank you so much for having me on the show today. It was wonderful meeting all of you. And, you know, from my own experience, you know, in life, I mean, if I didn't go through all the hardships that I did, I wouldn't be working as hard as I am now. I wouldn't be as excited to accomplish as much as I have. I mean, I want to get more books published, you know, just to help people, you know. And the one thing that I always feel, no matter what happens to us, I mean, I wrote another book, I'm trying to get it published. I live through rejection. A lot of people live through rejection. And it's tough, but you know what? You gotta be strong. You know, people say to me, AG, you've turned lemons into lemonade. And you really, you know, we have to be there helping each other, encouraging one another. And even with these medical bills that could be denied 4 or 5 times, I tell people, don't give up. Don't give up. You know, think positive, believe in yourself, believe what you're able to do. And as long as you think that way, it's all going to happen. You know, MedWise Insurance Advocacy, I'm always here to help and advise. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
You are so welcome. Thank you for joining. You seem like the ideal person to actually go after this, because you have that, to me, that lawyer, attorney energy. You know what I mean? Because it's like, don't make me call Adria, because once Adria shows up, this is a wrap. I'm telling you, I love it. I know you're going to make continue to make a positive difference in the world. Jeff, what do you have for us?
I was inspired by, you know, your press junket when you actually just went off and was just like, this is who I am. And it reminded me, and this really resonated with what Linnea said earlier, as I think of the Viola Davis quote, where she said, you know, with every decision you make, you either claim who you are or you end up chasing your worth for the rest of your life. And how many people do you know chasing their worth? And you, Sharifa, like truly claim who you are. You were like, you're not apologizing at all. But for many people that are chasing their worth, the question I have for them all the time is like, who are you trying to impress right now? Right? You know, like we did this stuff in high school. Why are we still doing high school when we don't even care about those people from high school anymore? So what are you doing to identify what actually makes you come alive right now? What is the stuff that gets you into flow? Because frankly, that's what the world needs. And really people need to show up, and simply because you are being yourself, Sharifa, and you've shown up over and over again, you've given a platform for all of us and everyone else that you've had on your show, maybe even now like thousands of people at this point, you know, an opportunity to show up. And then your listeners are hearing this and it's like, this is the ripple effect, right? So now you gave me this opportunity to be like, now I'm here, I'm showing up. And now I'm asking a listener to be like, yo, that winning lottery ticket, that thing that you've been scared to pursue for so long, but you also know you really want to do it and you don't want to binge watch the rest of your life, pursue that, because frankly, we need that more than anything. And you can start that in 2021.
I love your passion. I always love your passion. You got to come back, Jeff. Go, all of you have to come back. Go to AshSharifa.com, grab a seat, because I love your energy. But it was so profound what you were saying about the whole owning it thing. But politics 101 teaches us that whatever skeletons you have in your closet, get them out there fast and get them out there first. So it's like, I want people to know that if you see me as angry, that's okay. You know, my kids are 20 and 23, but they knew if mom comes home and mom is angry, it's going to be hell to pay. So it's like, okay, I'm angry. We passed that. But did you do what I needed you to do? So I got it out there. I own it. I love it. Now, again, one of the things I'm so super excited about is changing the world and changing lives, which is why I launched my New Year, New You 2-day teleconference on December 29th and 30th. You will go into 2021 a completely different person, and Linnea is going to be there presenting again. Linnea, tell us what they can take away, as well as again what you will be presenting the 29th and 30th.
Yes. So two things I want everyone to take away is, one, I want you to think about what you can release to 2020 so that you can step into 2021 being your full authentic self and experiencing your deepest joys and your heart's deepest desires. And if you're ready to release and you're ready to be intentional about 2021, I'm actually having a challenge calling Releasing 2020 starting December 14th through 20th. So if you visit my website, theholisticmft.com, you can join that challenge where you'll receive daily affirmations, sound baths, meditations, and a mental health check-in, just to make sure we're being intentional. And two, remember that no matter where you are on your journey, that you are enough and you are worthy of all the abundance that is coming your way. And so with the 2-day conference that I'm so excited about, Sharifa, we will be talking about how do we change the perspective of our limiting beliefs to affirm the very thing that we want for ourselves. How can we show up as our fullest self? How can we show up in the world as our best selves, being confident and really shining that purpose that God has for all of us?
Yes, I can't wait. I'm so excited about this teleconference because I'm able to bring guests of the round table that I just fall in love with and be like, look, world, you have to see what they do. And that's what we're going to do on the December 29th and 30th at the New Year, New You 2-day teleconference. You can pick up your tickets for that on my website at asharifa.com. And again, please help Free Lunch Coffee go ahead and change the world. Feed hungry, underprivileged children. You can do that at their website at freelunchcoffee.com. Don't forget to use Roundtable, two words, Roundtable at checkout for a 10% discount. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, Ms. Jamie R. Wright, who is also going to be presenting at the New Year, New You teleconference, is laughing throughout the comments. She had the best time. Everyone is sharing the show. So I appreciate you. But just if you're watching the show in the archives, just because you didn't catch the live show doesn't mean you are not still important. You are important. We appreciate you. We still need you to go ahead and share the show, but don't just watch the show. Please don't just share the show. Please support our guests. Visit their websites. They're bringing you so much information today. Their website links are in the Facebook post above. But again, don't just visit their websites. Follow them on social media. Be an active part of what they're doing to change the world. Contact them, reach out to them, send them a message. And when you reach out to them, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, visit my website at asharifa.com. Until Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed weekend. Bye now.
Take care.
Bye. Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.